We're privileged this afternoon to eavesdrop on the longest conversation that Jesus had with anyone in all of the scriptures, a Samaritan woman. And we do not even know her name. It has been said by many scripture scholars that anytime someone significant in scripture remains nameless, that person acts as the universal person, standing in for each one of us. And so as we listen this afternoon to this conversation between Jesus and this unnamed Samaritan woman, let's imagine ourselves sitting there at the well too. Continuing our Lenten journey, we hear in our readings today invitations to name and consider the many wells, the many places we go for life-giving water. As the chosen people complain to Moses about not having water to drink in the desert, as the Samaritan woman carried her heavy water jar to Jacob's well, all of us here have deeper needs than the various wells from which we draw our daily sustenance. Do we drink from the well of self-pity? How often do we not see the larger picture all around us? As David reminded us at the beginning of Mass today, our communion song today is an invitation for us to get the larger picture. There are people all over our planet without homes. And you know, how often do we find ourselves importuned? I'm going to knock this thing over. This past Wednesday, it was a snow day for me in Wilmington, Delaware. But the power went out. I acted as if, how could this happen to me, of all people? I have things to get done. I was enjoying the day off, but as it progressed, I wanted some of the creature comforts. But then I quickly realized, just from watching the news, not on the TV, but in my car, charging up my iPhone to see it, I realized, Jim, how could you be so insular? I don't know if anyone else gets like that. Perhaps we drink from the well of self-absorption. I recall a friend of mine when I was the chaplain at GW. He was the Protestant minister, and we would get together for the Board of Chaplains meeting at the university. And he shared with us a little dilemma that was happening with the church presbytery. He said the staff was used to answering the phone in the office, "Hello, we are here to serve our congregation." But then the new pastor said, "Can we imagine Jesus saying, I'm here just to serve the disciples?" Jesus came to save the world, everyone, not just his colleagues in ministry. He came to serve the beggars and the blind, the oppressed and the oppressor, the marginalized and the ostracized. We are here to serve the world, not just ourselves. Or maybe we drink from the well of excessive self-care. How many of us worry more about how fit we make our bodies so that we look good rather than out of a concern for good health? A friend of mine, who's also an oblate, I think falls into this. I was thinking of him, not to be judgmental. But we were having a joke one time about being on call at the hospital. And a few of our other friends said about this other one, who wasn't in the room, by the way, so it wasn't fair, that he would probably step over somebody if his on-call time was over on the way to the gym. There's something wrong with that. But how often, using that as a motif, do we get too involved with our own needs and we forget about others? I heard a minister one time share about a dad drinking from the well of net worth. That parent regretted spending more time managing his mutual funds than managing his child's development. Do we spend as much time creating family priorities as we do social and business ones? And so I've just named some of the wells we could sit by. But as we consider these questions and as you mull over the wells that you have in your own life, let's go back to Jacob's well. Notice the time of day, John tells us, is noon, the moment of peak intensity, the scorching sun of the rays. Someone like myself would need to put on SPF 50 for that in the noonday sun. But here's a woman who went to draw water at noon, exposing herself at this hour because she drank of other wells, leading her to feel shame. She's about to learn her most important lesson. The man she meets at the well will never leave her vulnerable and ashamed, as he himself at high noon will transform all vulnerability and shame when he's lifted high on the cross, pulled from death by his Father. This unnamed woman calls Jesus by many names, Prophet, Messiah, Lord, as she recognizes and accepts the gifts that he offers. In her openness to the good news, she receives in this life-changing conversation a whole new way to look at life. She leaves her heavy water jar at the well, the symbol of what she thought needed to be filled, and goes back into the town. She wants everyone else to come back to the well and meet Jesus. But notice what happens. The disciples come moseying back, saying, "Hey, what's up here?" They went out and got lunch. And here's this woman saying, "My God, the best thing in life just happened to me." How often are we like the disciples? We're more concerned with our next meal than evangelization. And some of you today may be saying, "We've had a long gospel. When's this homily over?" We see Jesus reaching beyond borders, the places that not just anyone would go. Too many of us at times are afraid to reach beyond borders, beyond our comfort zones. I read one time, Mary Scullion, she's a nun in Philadelphia. She runs Project Home, a wonderful place to put people on the streets. And this nun, she's a mercy nun, she was invited to give the speech at the graduation at Notre Dame. And she told the graduates, "I want to wish you one thing. Find your comfort zone. And for the rest of your life, stay as far away from it as possible." That's what Jesus tells us at the well. Don't stay in a comfort zone. Reach out to the borders, drink from so many wells, but remember to go to the most important wells that has life as its offer. All of us here are more thirsty than we can possibly imagine, and Jesus desires to meet us at the wells of our lives. He wants us, in the words of the poet Rumi, to close both eyes and see with the other eye everything all around us. As with his encounter with the woman at the well, when he broke down all barriers of tradition, culture, religiosity, the Lord wants to speak a word to us. He tells us, "If only you knew who it is that is speaking to you. If you only knew." God ventures into everything all around us, into our development, into our history, into our woundedness, into our family and our world, and he's no stranger to any of those places. From what wells do you and I drink? May God be praised.